Hello, good morning, Every Nation Church Penang. I'm so glad that you have tuned in this morning to worship with us right now. What day is today? Today is 7 days after February 14. Now, the big question is, after the 7 days, is love still in the air? I do not know whether you want to reach out to the air to catch some love. Friends, or is it love only comes around on February 14? You know what? Today I want to talk about the hottest topic in the world today. And that is vaccine. You know, that one we will leave it to the medical field. Today I want to talk about love. All right, we are starting a new series, a two-part series, okay, entitled True Heart and the Heart Truth. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, end of a series that, okay, you will understand love a bit more, and it takes a true heart, okay, to comprehend the heart truth. Now, these two parts, we will cover what love is, and part two, we're going to cover what marriage is. All right, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 13, and then the other one, we'll look at Matthew chapter 19. Now, isn't it true that we live in a world, okay, that subtly influences our assumption and perspective about love? For example, many times when we come to love, we say, love is feeling. But love is not about feeling. If love is not about feeling, but it involves feeling. Even isn't it so confusing when it comes to love? People say love is blind, but not your neighbors. All your neighbors look at, what are you doing? Love may be blind, but it takes a broken heart, okay, to see everything. Okay, love is not only blind, but it's deaf. That's why when you see two lovebirds, okay, sitting down at a cafe somewhere, they just lock eyes, see each to each other, and there's no words, okay, nothing could be heard. Why? Because love is not only blind, but it's also deaf. Now, love is blind, but marriage, okay, is the eye-opener. You know, I saw two pickup lines that I want to say to you. You know, they say, love is blind, but I saw you. From A to Z, choose which alphabet you like the most. It can be A, B, what's yours? Well, I like you. Okay, all right. Now, I hope that picks up. Now, as we look at this series, you might want to understand what is true love. And we're going to explore 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is where Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Now, to give you a bit of background of the city of Corinth, Corinth was one of the largest and greatest cities of Greece. And its population was about 75,000. And it has been one of the most important cities of Greece since about the 8th century BC. But it was destroyed by the Romans in about 146 BC and was rebuilt by Julius Caesar about 44 BC. All right? Now, it's situated in such a way that the harbor served as an important stop for the Mediterranean trade and also the tourist center, and drawn many people, okay, to its shrine. Now, one thing that you need to know about Corinth was, it's a city of love, which means they existed where the temple of Aphrodite. Okay, what is that? It's the goddess of love. In fact, what it means is the temple of prostitutes. I read a bit more that he has about 1,000 prostitutes. And then he has a concept where they taught that sexual love, okay, if you have sexual love with them, and then you find the way of truth. This is how the Corinth city is. It housed other temples as well. Temple of the Dionysus, the Greek god of wine and intoxication. And the temple of Isis, the Egyptian goddess. Okay, the enchantress and the goddess of magic. Okay, this is where, okay, Corinth was. All right, where Paul was writing, okay, to, okay, the believers in the Corinth city. In other words, okay, Corinth city was an ungodly city, or in other words, a sex city. All right. So Paul came to Corinth, preached the word, converted many, but still the culture that they were living in for years, okay, the environment that they have was still in their heart. But because Paul loved them, Paul wrote to them for at least, okay, two letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and giving them instruction how Christian or believers should live and love in a secular world. All right, now, so what is true love looks like. So as we explore 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'd like to propose four thoughts for you this morning. So number one, true love isn't about doing. Why? Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read verse 1 to verse 3. Paul said this, if I speak the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, and if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we look at this message, oh God, Lord, about true love, okay, or the true heart and the heart truth. I ask, oh God, Lord, when we look at 1 Corinthians 13, let the word speak to each and every one of us and understand the love that you have towards us. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. So what is true love? What is true love or the true value of love looks like? So remember, as I talk about the Corinth church or the Corinthian, they are the Greeks, okay? They pride themselves because of the great orators that they have, okay? If you have read about Demosthenes, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle, they are all great philosophers. And Paul was saying this, that if he had their tongue, if he had, the greatest oratory in the world, and this power to sway, the thoughts, and capture the hearts, if he had not love, then he is nothing. So in other words, Paul, what was Paul saying? Paul was saying that if he can give you an impressive speech, all right, have all the knowledge and powerful faith and supernatural power, put up a good show, but not love, he says, I am nothing. Have you ever seen people who have given their whole life, all right, their sacrifices, even of their own life and left with nothing? And when you see them, they were just devastated. You know, sometimes stories when you hear about the love story of a mother and child, or father and son, and all those stories. Probably you have watched many dramas as well. The Korean one, the China one, the Hong Kong one, the Taiwan one, whatever. So they depict, how the life, of a poor mother who had given everything, or the father, whoever life that they portray, they live, in such a way they were devastated because no one could see the love they have poured out. Paul says in verse 2 that, but I have not love, I am nothing. You know this word nothing, do you know what it means? As I look into the original word, Paul means worthless. When he say nothing, means worthless, meaningless. Okay, if of no value, door shut, nothing can be done, nothing. So what is nothing for all of us? Very easy, I will say it's zero. Okay, in our own language, we say telo mute. Zero, all right. Now, but wait a minute, do I mean that even the greatest act of charity which you have seen or you have known, will be nothing if it's done without love? Probably. But the reverse of that is also truth, which is even the humblest man or person whose works are backed up with love is greater than all those big names, in the headlines. You know, Apostle Paul, when he was writing this, he talked about the spiritual gifts, about the gift of knowledge and all those. So he is saying that no matter what, no matter how exciting the prophecy is, how powerful the faith is, how wonderful, in that sense, it is as useless and even destructive if it's not ministered, with love or in love. Because love is not about what you know or what you can do. You know, many times in any love relationship, sometimes it's just too much doing and forgotten about to be. What do I mean? You know, many of us who are fathers, mother, or husband, wife, we end up doing so much thing that we've forgotten how to become a father, or become a mother, or become husband or wife. Okay, everything involves us is so much of doing, and we do not know how to love as one. Okay, but on the other hand, if you are in love, and if you do nothing about it, then how? If you say you love someone and you never show it, nobody will know as well, because that one main ingredient is missing. It's none other than love. You know, have you tried to cook a soup dish? I'm sure you do, all right? Sometimes when you do that and you have to taste it, you know, you have to taste and see how it tastes like. So as you taste it, something is missing. What is it? And you taste again, you put in this and put in that. You still taste something that is missing. Then you realize, aya, I missed the MSG. Okay, all right, now let's move on. So what I'm trying to say is, there is this ingredient that we must not miss whatever that you do, and that is none other than love. So therefore, whatever you do, do it with love. You can bake the best cookies in the world, but without love, it aren't the same. You can make the coffee. Okay, you had 2% making the coffee, but it can taste different. You know, sometimes you go to a coffee shop, right? They now they ask you, mau gula, tamau gula, you want sugar or no sugar? With sugar or no sugar? Next time it comes around, you say, with sugar or no sugar, never mind, but with love. Then your coffee will taste differently, okay, when you offer it to, okay, your spouse, okay, or someone that you love. So when you call up people and give them words of encouragement, but if it's done without love, that is only empty words. So it was said that love is necessary to survival. It is as essential for a person to have love as to have pure air and food to sustain him. So number one, true love isn't about your doing, but it is when it plus, okay, with love, okay, the main ingredient. Number two, true love is about your relationship, first to God, and then to others. When we talk about true love among all the relationship you have, it's a test of love. Look at verse 4 to verse 6. It says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, how do you describe your relationship with God? Or how do you describe your relationship with others? Can this passage from verse 4 to verse 6 describe your relationship? If your relationship with God is good, then it will exemplify and magnify, okay, over to others. Have you not heard, okay, about the cross? Your vertical love will also transcend to the horizontal love. True love is about first your relationship with God and then with others around you. Now, do you realize how terrible, okay, a person can be? Okay, imagine how God go all out, okay, to love this person. In fact, when you read this passage of scripture, Paul is talking about the love of God, the love of Jesus toward us. So just imagine, I try to rephrase this by saying, if Jesus will come and say to you, and say he loves you, and he said this, I am, is patient. I am, is kind. I am, do not envy or boast. I am, is not arrogant. I am, is not rude. I am, do not insist on my own way. I am, not irritable. I am not resentful. I am, do not rejoice at your wrongdoing, because I am loves you. Imagine that. If you can say that to the one around you and love them as how, okay, Jesus loved each and every one of us. When we talk about love is patient, love is kind. So when we talk about love is patient, friends, that is a test of patience. What happens when no one or God answer whatever that you ask? Okay, how agitating it, how irritating it is when you ask for something and nobody seems to reply. And that is just a test, okay, of patience, okay, whether you have the patience with you. Are you happy waiting for someone? Talking about kind words, love is kind. How do you speak to one another? Okay, do you use unkind words most of the time? I told you already. How many times I told you already? Okay, unkind words. During courtship, you know, you can, talking about patience, you can wait for 2 hours. No problem, 2 hours already passed. And then your boyfriend or girlfriend come, sorry, never mind. Waiting is my expertise, man. But after married, 2 minutes has passed. Why are you so slow? Huh? I thought that was your expertise. Okay, all right now. So I read about this funny story, a conversation between a son with his dad at a breakfast one morning. The son said this, "Dad, I'm going to get married." Dad says, "How do you know that you are ready to get married? Are you in love?" The son replied, "I'm sure I am, Dad." "How do you know that you are in love?" "Oh, last night, I kissed my girlfriend goodnight and her dog bit me. I did not feel any pain until this morning." "You sure you're ready for marriage?" "Well, what we call this?" And they call it puppy love. Now, many couples enter into marriage because they love at first sight, because they are attracted, okay, to the physical body, the attractive appearance, okay, pleasant personalities, and so on. You know, today you have many these YouTube, you know, how they do all this makeup, you know, all this. Then after that, when they go home, they remove piece by piece, and it's an old maid. All right, now, I pray, all right, that your love at first sight will also be that love at the last sight, which means at the end of the day, when your journey ends here and to be with Jesus, the same sight that you have at the last sight was also the first sight that you first fall in love. That means the same person. Now, on the other hand, many healings also can take place because how love has been ministered. So I read about this, that stories about neglected children who are classified as retarded. Children who are ignored and neglected. No kisses, no hugs, nobody ever spoke to them. But when they were given a little stimulation of love, wow, suddenly their intelligence, okay, awake and started to return to normal. Now, I read a story of this doctor, American psychiatrist named Dr. Menninger, who contended that love is one of the most effective cures in healing mental illness. So when the reporters came and asked and interviewed Dr. Menninger, say how it was that 80% of your patients recover. And he said this. This is not about electric shock or surgery or group therapy or drugs. The one thing, the real secret, okay, is that contained in this single word. And it's none other than love. So true love is not envy, not boasting, not jealous, not arrogant, not rude, not irritable, not resentful, not insist of its own way, not selfish, does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Those are all enemies, okay, of true love. So the test of love comes when you ask yourself, are you able to love someone like that? That will be a test of true love. Isn't it true that when someone are just unlovable, just cannot, but then God loves them, okay? Try to understand, probably this person is you and I, okay? People who try to love us, it's just difficult, but God loves you and I. When you try to cook the vinegar pork, how many of you have done so? I'm going to ask you, what is the first major ingredient that you must have when you cook the pork trotter vinegar? I've tried cooking. I realized I must get, the first thing that I must secure is the vinegar. Get the right vinegar. Because pork can be any pork, right? But you have to get the right vinegar. Friends, in other words, true love is about your relationship first. What is the first thing in your life? Vinegar? All right, now. And that will permeate all others. Number three. True love is about going the distance. Verse 7 says, love bear all things, believe all things, hopes all things, endure all things. You know, imagine the early days of your courtship. How did it go? You know, I would think that you have no complaint whatsoever when you want to fetch your girlfriend, so to speak. You know, you are staying in Bayan Lepas, but your girlfriend is staying in Batu Feringgi. Okay, you will offer yourself, even not us. You will travel all the way to Batu Feringgi, send her to work, and then you go to work. And when it's finished, you see, you pick her up and send her all the way back to Batu Feringgi and come back. No sweat, no problem, no issue. Have you heard story about boyfriend work in Singapore, girlfriend works lives in Penang, and their life is about serving the bus company? They will travel up and down. Remember those days, no flight, you know, just travel up and down. Asia doesn't exist yet. So you have this paying, okay, to the bus company, traveling 10 to 12 hours, okay, every now and then and so on. No problem. I've heard stories about almost reaching the causeway. Passport is in Penang. So you can't cross, you get the next bus ticket and go back to Penang and pick up the passport and then travel back again. Wow, what love can do. Love bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. I remember those days, you know, when handphone has not existed yet, we will queue up at the telecom booth. And, you know, every night is just a long queue at the hostel. And we keep on investing into this phone booth. That's where, okay, a mobile company doing so well, okay, today. Now, why? Because love can go a distance. You know, another story. Now, this is about maybe about 2-3 years ago, all right, and I was having tea time with two youth leaders. And one of them suddenly showed me an Insta post, okay, about 2 person fell in love. He said, Pastor, do you want to see this Insta? I said, what is it? What's so interesting? You see their hashtag? Uyo, you know what's hashtag? Hashtag, love found a way. You know why? Because this 2 person has, their name has the W-E-I there. So love found a way. And then, because I'm having tea time with these two, one said, "Ayo, Pastor, no way." Then they said, "Bitan, no." Okay, now. So when you look at that, love go a distance. Sometimes we wonder, what happened to all that after you are married? So friends, true love, all the lovers out there, love is about going a distance no matter what the situation. I remember the days when my wife told me, okay, she was pregnant, and then she told me, I want to eat ayam percik. Or satay, lah, okay, in a sense. And it's 1 a.m. By the time ding dong, it's already 2 a.m. What do you do? You better go and get your satay. All right, now. So, dear lovers, true love is about going a distance. Okay, marriage vow said it all. Okay, when two, okay, come to the altar, when they said, I take you so and so to be, okay, my wife or husband, to have and to hold from this day forward. All those, okay, who are married, probably this will remind you when you say that, when the vow say that, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. According to God's holy law, in the presence of God, I make this vow. Wow. So marriage vow, tell us. And remind us that true love, if there's true love, you will go a distance. Now, sometimes I think about food in Penang, right? Why people love char kway teow so much? Why that particular stall? You know, I was told about one. So, for the first time, that was my first and last, because you have to go all the way there, no car park, you know, the queue is so super long, and then no proper place to sit, and then you're standing, you say you cannot sit here, all right, you got to wait. I waited for one, I queued up for 1.5 hours, and then I got my char kway teow. Wow, I see 1.5 hours, I've already done one service, right? Now, why is that so? Because when you love something, you will go all out, and you will go a distant. Now, how do you bear all things? How do you hope all things and believe all things and endure all things? The only thing is love for char kway teow. All right, now, number four, as I end the fourth one, love, true love is about maturity. Now, in this last passage of 1 Corinthians chapter 18, verse 8 to 12, because we always read 13, we now read verse 8 to 12. It's interesting. It says, love never ends. As for the prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. Verse 9, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Verse 10, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave out childish way. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part that I shall know fully, even as I have fully known. So Paul was saying, everything will pass away. You're talking about the prophecy, tongues, knowledge, all these spiritual gifts will pass away, but not love. Love never ends. Love never fails. So in other words, as you grow in love, okay, you must grow. Okay, your love in love must grow. It's a journey that you take. So in that love means that you must mature, because Paul talked about when you are a child and when you become a man. Okay, think about when you were a child. Okay, Paul says, when he was saying that, I think, the way I speak, the way I comprehend, okay, the way I reason, it's all childish. Remember those days, okay, when you are young, or when you see your little children now, I want. They just don't care whatever the situation. I want. It's 1 a.m. Why you want ice cream at 1 a.m.? I want. All right. So the way we behave as a child. So when you think about, when you see a grown adult, and if a grown adult still behaving like a small kid, wow, it better concern you. Parents, okay, you should be very concerned with your children as they grow in the age, and they didn't mature as they grow older. All right. Likewise, spiritually, all of us who are leaders and who are members under you should be very concerned if people under you doesn't seem to grow, okay, maturely, and they still wanting, okay, to live on the milk. When you are a child, you will want your needs to be met. But when Paul says, when I become an adult, it means that you learn how to take care of yourself and take care of others. So what Apostle Paul is writing, he's telling all of us, every believer, to grow up and behave like one. In other words, give you some example to unpack this. When people hurt you, you don't start a war. Okay, when people don't, when you don't get the attention that you want, you don't get upset and quit. Okay, when you don't keep running. Okay, when you do not dare to face, okay, the fact or the truth or the reality. Okay, you got to grow up. So that's why Paul says, when I become a man, I give up childish way. In other words, he's saying, when I become a man, I put away irresponsible way. Okay, I will act and behave like a man. You learn something today? All right, so for parents, all of us as well, when we are, as parents, if we are overprotective, what does that mean? Okay, when we see our children grow up, and they are continuing to grow up, and we are not training them, all right, when they are old enough and have a capability, okay, to wash their own shoe, okay, wash the dishes, okay, prepare themselves and all this, and we're still feeding them, okay, that will be just terrible, all right? So as I close, likewise, every love relationship, it has to grow, it has to mature, okay? Then you will blossom. So what is permanent? Okay, when everything seems temporal, what is lasting? When every stage of life seems not going the way, okay, what is truly eternal is none other than love. Can I have musician back? So Paul is saying, love is bound to win at the end of the day, because love never fails. And John Lennon said this, he says, all you need is love, because the very day, the end of the day will come, all right, and when everything that you possess seems to fall away, but let me say, love lives on and lives on. That's where Apostle Paul ends with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. Let me pray for you. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even as we look at what true love is, or all the true heart, okay, to understand the heart truth. Father, I pray that each and everyone will understand that true love is not about just what we know or what we can do. True love is about to be and not just doing everything. But if we were to do everything, help us, Lord, to include this main ingredient that is love. Father, today I pray that as we express true love, it will not be just self, not being selfish, but how, okay, we can give, okay, love away. Father, help us, Lord, to understand love so that we can go a distance, so that it's unstoppable, so that love never fails, and be able to conquer all things. Father, I commit all of us into your hands. Father, I pray, Lord God, for those who are hurt, for those who couldn't face the very situation they are in. Father, I pray, Lord God, Lord, that they will come to experience your true love, because your love says is patient and is kind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I also ask that if any one of you have not experienced God's love towards you, God is all there, okay, for you, waiting for you to respond, because he loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, okay, to die at the cross, forgive our sins, okay, and redeem each and every one of us. God bless you.